NPR correspondent Anne Garrels has left Iraq. She finished her latest reporting trip into a country that she's been visiting since before the war. Garrels was among the few reporters to stay in Baghdad during the U.S. invasion in 2003. In her latest trip to Iraq, she traveled with U.S. troops as they fought their way into the city of Fallujah. When our reporters rotate out of Iraq, we often ask them to stop and talk about what they've seen, and Anne Garrels is now with us from her home in Norfolk, Connecticut. Hi, Annie.
Hi.
Let's start with the Fallujah story. Some very intense fighting. How did you cover it?
With enormous difficulty. I think I'm frankly too old to be with a foot company of Marines. We were all much closer, I think, than any of us anticipated we would be. It required, you know, carrying a backpack of about 60 pounds with all the radio gear in order to be able to broadcast. Because I was with the foot company, I was on foot a lot of the time. And then, frankly, in order to get a broader perspective than just being with one company, and also because I needed an electrical outlet, I moved over to the commander.
Does your closeness to the fighting say something about the kind of fighting it was, in that it was very small American units going down individual streets, and if you're with a small group, you're right near the front line no matter what?
It's exactly what it was like. The troops were moving through the streets. A move of merely 250 yards could be deadly. And then when the major fighting subsided, the troops were moving house to house, and that proved in often even more deadly.
Was there one unit of Marines that you followed across the city?
Yes, I spent most of my time with the 1st Battalion, 3rd Marine Regiment, with Bravo Company. It had been a pretty traumatic time for them. They had just arrived in Iraq from Okinawa. They're based in Hawaii. Most had never seen combat before. You know, most, as in any Marine company, are very young, you know, between 19 and 22 years old. And before we even went into Fallujah, a 7-ton truck carrying many in Bravo Company was hit by a suicide bomber, and 8 Marines were killed and another 9 seriously injured.
They hadn't seen a lot of combat before. You have seen some. How does this fighting compare?
This was the closest, frankly, I've ever been to being right in the middle of it. This was very intimate, house to house, small streets, snipers, rocket-propelled grenades coming when you least expected it. There would be moments, hours of nothing, and then suddenly a soldier next to you would be shot. It was quite frankly terrifying a lot of the time. What amazed me, I think, was that if you're with the, you know, down at the lowest level, you don't know what you're going to do until you're told 5 minutes before you're going to do it. You don't have a sense of the big picture. All you know is what's going on immediately around you.
Is there a way in which the waiting is harder than those moments of action?
Yes, because you just don't know what's around the corner. And so you were filling in the silences, and there wasn't a whole lot to do, except the Marines would clean their weapons for the 8 millionth time.
We should mention, Annie, that you've done a lot of reporting in Iraq, and much of it has been among the civilian populace. Now you've spent an extended period with American troops. Does the country look different from their perspective than it does from other perspectives?
Oh, completely. For starters, even when I was in Baghdad, say, during the war, I had a very narrow window. I didn't see the American side of it. I didn't see the troops. I saw the Iraqi civilian side of it. This time, when you're embedded with the American troops, once again, you have a very narrow window. You see what's immediately in front of you, and that is it. You don't have a sense of the big picture. I was able to get a bit more of that when I moved over to work with the commander of the battalion. It was interesting seeing the reports from and seeing what I saw inside Fallujah compared to what other Sunni groups were saying, the Iraqi Red Crescent, for instance, which was not in Fallujah, saying that there were thousands of dead civilians. We did not see thousands of dead civilians. We did see that there were efforts to provide humanitarian help, but that the insurgents, in some cases, shot civilians as they came to the mosques. So, you know, it was but one window on it all.
And, of course, that's the window that matters a great deal to American policymakers. It's the source of a certain amount of their intelligence. Do you feel like the troops are able to understand the full story of what they're involved in?
No, I don't think they do understand the full story. There were some young officers who have had quite a lot of experience now in Iraq. There was one who is an Arabic-speaking former Jordanian who has been out in Iraq, if you will, in various cities. But the battalion I was with They'd been in Iraq 2 weeks before this whole thing started. So they really had very little sense of the country at all.
During your time there, news came out that Margaret Hassan, an aid worker, was killed after being kidnapped. You knew Margaret Hassan.
I did. She was a Westerner who understood Iraq because she was married to an Iraqi, had lived there a long time, and worked for the poor of Iraq. It was a double shock to me. One, it was a tremendous loss for us all when she was killed. The second thing was that any illusions I had that as a woman I might be just that bit safer perhaps disappeared. I am a little bit safer than my male colleagues because I can wear protective coloring, a chador, you know, headscarf. I can sort of disappear as a black bag in the back of the car. But when, you know, Margaret was yanked from her car and then so brutally murdered, whatever illusions I had about being a woman went away.
What is your sense of the effect that all the killings have had on Iraqi civilians?
They remain sitting on the fence waiting to see who's going to win. They are utterly intimidated. On the one hand, they see that the U.S. has been unable to provide security. On the other hand, they see the insurgents, or whatever you want to call them, able to move at will, killing, kidnapping. These are criminals. So most people are simply waiting. They're not ready to put their head above the waterline and stand up and be counted. And this is going to be very difficult for the elections.
This is a story that you've covered intimately. You've come to know a lot of people in Iraq, Iraqis as well as Americans. Does this story become personal to you in any way?
Of course it becomes personal. I have translators who work with me every day, who put their life at risk. They're doing it for a lot more than just the money. They're doing it because they're trying to find some kind of truth themselves in madness. There's not going to be an easy, happy ending. Iraqi troops and security forces are being killed all the time. People who dare to work with me, my translators, drivers, are being targeted. So to that extent, of course it is personal, and I've invested 2 years of my life in trying to make sense of this enormously complicated situation.
NPR's Ann Garrels is home in Connecticut after her latest reporting trip to Iraq. Ann, thanks very much.
Thank you.